All right, so I had a bit of a weird experience at Blue Route Mall this past Thursday. Got out the car, got the kids out, and went to lock the door. And I've just got a remote locking fob. I don't have an actual sort of key that you can put in a keyhole and turn. And as I went to lock and then pull the door handle, which I do just out of habit, door opened. I thought, oh, it hasn't locked. So I kept trying, didn't work. And I thought, well, I was a little bit alerted, but I thought, well, I haven't got anything of any value in the car. I must rush into the shop and get whatever. Popped up, came back down. Nothing had gone in the car. There wasn't anything to take. Went to drive off. My radio, which is always on, if you know what I mean, like I never switch the radio off, came back on. Frequency had changed and the clock timer had changed. And I thought, that seems a little bit odd. So I messaged a friend of mine. I said, just ask your husband, who's in the motor industry, could this be a car jamming thing, like a car jammer? Could it affect the signal? She said, look, he doesn't know, but have a look online. And it says that it's entirely possible. So I thought, whether it is or it isn't, I wanted to have a conversation about car jamming and how to prevent yourself being a victim of, and also how prevalent it is. Michael Pushut is the owner of the online platform Change Cars and also the host of All Things Motoring on DSTV. Michael, great to have you with us. Thanks very much indeed for making time for us. Can you just give us an example of these car jamming? What is a car jammer?
Good morning to everybody, and thank you for having me on the show. So car jamming is just another one of the crimes that we literally don't need. And as obvious as that sounds, it's just a newer crime and it's a lower level of car theft to a degree. And when I say a lower level of car theft, let's look at the levels. You've got hijacking, which is your absolute worst, committed by I would like to genuinely say the scum of the earth.
Yep.
Then you've got car theft. And then you've got a lower level. You've got braking and entering in terms of smashing your window. And then I would say car jamming is your classiest of your car thieves.
Right.
They wait for you to leave. You don't even know they're around. And then they jam your signal. And that is, I think, what we need to talk about today, is how the actual car jamming concept works. And sadly, I fear that even the car manufacturers and the car insurance companies don't 100% know.
So how does it work? Is it a device? What is it? And how close do they have to be to your car? How does it work?
So the feeling is that the reality that it absolutely is a signal jamming device. Remember, you take your car, you leave, you've got a remote control on all modern cars. You push the remote control, you're sending a signal to your car. Your car is receiving a signal. It's got a transponder. And what the car jamming device is essentially doing is intercepting your signal. So your car is ready to receive the signal to say, lock me. The car jamming device intercepts the signal from your remote control and says, not going to lock you. What do you do as a consumer, as a driver? You automatically take it for granted, push the button. You don't even wait to hear the two beeps anymore. Maybe you're 7, 8, 10 meters away. You know, we all walk away from the car. We're busy fiddling with our phone and we casually hold our hand up in the air and push the button. But that is what it is essentially. It's a signal jamming device.
Now, in terms of the radius or the of the device, I mean, if I'm parking in a car park, I mean, how close does somebody have to be in order, if they're using this device, can it impact 4 or 5 cars that have parked near me? Is it just, do they have to be up close to my car? How good of a signal do they need to get in order to intercept it?
So you definitely do need to be relatively close. And let's look at the modus operandi of how it will essentially happen. And I'm not targeting anybody, don't understand me. But they see a businessman driving in the morning, he's looking smartly dressed. What are the chances of him having a briefcase or laptop in his car?
Yeah.
Very, very strong. So now there's a gentleman that we want to target, or the lady. Business lady, businessman. Mm. They follow you. They're relatively close, totally nondescript. You parking, they parking, etc. I would imagine, and again, this is the belief, that you need to be relatively close to get the success that you're looking for within about 10 to 15 meters.
How do we then make sure that we don't fall victim? I used to live in Camps Bay, and that meant I used to park a lot in Sea Point because that would be my sort of nearest place to go and do a shop. And I remember people saying to me, don't ever park in Sea Point. It's the worst place for car jamming. And it was only then that I really started doing the double pull on the hand on my car door. And now it's become second nature, which is why this thing happened to me the other day. And I thought, hold on a minute, this is a bit odd. And I should just say, and I did mention them all at where it happened. I gather that this is really prevalent. I don't think that the mall particularly that I've mentioned is more problematic or less problematic than any other. Nothing was taken from my car. And also, it may not have even been car jamming. It just made me think this is a bit odd. What should we be doing to make sure it doesn't happen? And I always kind of, not only do I do the handle pulling, but I'm pressing the key fob like a maniac to make sure that it's like really locked.
So let's cover two aspects there, just in terms of where and when.
Yeah.
What I can say to you is I'm not the type of individual to sit on the fence or gloss over or protect anybody. If you take your most well-known shopping centres or your neighbourhood shopping centre, you're equally at risk. Think about it.
Got you.
You've got hundreds of cars coming to the main shopping centre, nice and easy, just target who you like.
Yeah.
Or in the smaller shopping centres, nice and easy, because it's a lot less cluttered. So whether it's a V&A Waterfront, Cavendish, or Century City, or any of your neighborhood shopping centers in Constantia or Sea Point, I do not believe you are more or less at risk.
Got you.
In terms of how do you protect yourself, absolutely always, always vigilant. So you get out the car immediately. Lock your car there and then. You do what you said. You pull the handle a few times. The unfortunate caveat of all this is also the belief, and I think it's real, that they can, even when you've walked away, open your car. Remember at the top of the interview I said about the levels of car theft?
Yeah.
Let's look at car theft itself. They're not getting into your car by breaking a window, smashing a window.
Yeah.
They're getting into your car with an electronic device that opens your car.
Yeah.
And again, this is what they're using with the car jamming, unfortunately. But the way I said this was, okay, well then we stuffed if we do, stuffed if we don't.
Mm-mm.
All I can say, the level of criminal that is looking to do car jamming, I believe, is less sophisticated than your absolute car thieves.
Okay, that's interesting. So to the point that I made around the frequency on my radio being changed, which never changes, it's always on the same thing, and also the change of clock, is it possible at all that one of these devices could have done that?
Very, very possible.
Really?
And the way that they would do it is by essentially disconnecting your battery or the connection between the electronic transponder and your battery. Anybody that's ever changed a battery, a physical car battery in their car, will tell you, oh, it was so irritating. I changed my battery and then the clock was off and all my settings had changed. I'm sure you've experienced that. So that is what would have happened there. It would have just done a little remote jamming between the car's transponder and the battery. What is scary is everything that we talk about to a large degree is unknown.
Yeah.
Unknown by the manufacturers, unknown by the security companies, the insurance companies. This is an underworld that's being naughty. Remember, anything that's jamming anything, it can be your remote control on your garage door at home, your security gate, whatever the case may be. These are not devices you could go to a local store and say, I want to buy a car jamming device.
Yeah.
They just don't exist. Where are they coming from? Are they coming from Eastern Europe? Are they coming from Russia? Are they coming from parts of Asia? We don't know. But they're definitely not legal devices that we can go and dissect and say, okay, this is how it works.
Yeah. Michael, thank you very much indeed for your time and for your expertise this morning. Much, much appreciated. Michael Pashut is the owner of the online platform Change Cars and also the host of All Things Motoring on DSTV, talking to us this morning about car jamming.